Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the word of life. Thank God for the word of faith and power. Thank God for the word of reconciliation. Glory be to Jesus. Thank God for the word of the gospel, the truth of the gospel. Welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast. It's been a great time. And today we're going to have another life-changing experience in the word of God, in the study of the word of God. Hallelujah. You see, the Christian faith is built on knowledge, the knowledge of the Son of God. The Christian faith is built on the knowledge of the Son of God. That's why we must continually be students of the Word of God. Amazingly, Jesus sent his disciples into the world, the apostles, and he says to them, very expressly, go into the world and make disciples of all the nations. That tells you that the Christian faith was going to thrive on teaching. Hallelujah, because the word disciple means student. Student, pupil, a learner. Somebody who is given to learning, to studying, to being educated. In fact, when he says go into the world and teach all nations, that word make all disciples means to enroll as a scholar. Hallelujah. To enroll them as scholars. Men who are students of the word of God. So welcome to another life-changing encounter with the word of truth. We've been studying forgiveness of sins, making a distinction between the Old Testament and New Testament, seeing God's mind on the subject of forgiveness. Hallelujah. Remission of sins in the New Testament as a major emphasis, as the nature of forgiveness we have received in Christ Jesus. We're going to make progress today from where we stopped yesterday. Yesterday we saw how forgiveness and the word remission as used in the New Testament. Everywhere you find the word forgiveness, remission in the New Testament, it's from the Greek word aphesis, except for Romans chapter 3 verse 25. Yeah, with the exception of Romans 3 25, where the word remission is translated from paresis in the Greek, which means to pass over, to tolerate. Amen. And then modern translations just translate it as, passed over. So, but every other place where the word remission, forgiveness is retained in the translations, it is from the word aphesis, which means to release from bondage and to what? To deliver from the penalty of sin. Praise God. Interesting study so far. And today I want us to examine something. What exactly is the role of repentance in the gospel? Hallelujah. What is the role of repentance in the gospel? Because at Luke 24, verse 46 to 47, Jesus gave an instruction, and sometimes people assume that a preacher of the gospel is not preaching the word accurately until he majors on preaching repentance, because of course Jesus says that repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. So you find people saying, well, a preacher of the gospel cannot just be preaching forgiveness of sins, remission of sins. When he meets the sinners, he can't just be talking about forgiveness, what Jesus has done, because he is meant to preach repentance and remission of sins in his name. And they do have a point. Praise God. Now Luke 24 verse 46 to 47. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So evidently from this scripture, Jesus says to preach repentance and remission of sins in his name. But the question is, what exactly is this repentance about? I'm not disputing the fact that Jesus says we should preach repentance and remission of sins in his name. I mean, one would have to be antichrist to say that repentance is not, has no place in the Bible, has no place in the gospel, because it is clearly stated as an instruction given to us. We should preach repentance and remissions of sins in the name of Jesus. Remission of sins in the name of Jesus. But what exactly is this repentance? That is the only place we could find, have ourselves disagreeing with ourselves. Because a lot of folks believe that this repentance is getting out there in the world and telling people to change their ways, to turn a new leaf, to be good people, to repent from their bad ways, and repentance from different things. So you find a man who is addicted to hard drugs, or a man who is addicted to pornography, or addicted to fornication or adultery, a man who is addicted to sex, and then we say repent from these ways, repent from this stuff you are doing, repent from these actions and bad attitudes. Now, here's something to consider. If men can release themselves from the stifling influence of sin, from the manipulating influence of sin, the stronghold of sin, or from the weakness of the flesh, then why did Jesus die? Hallelujah. Why did Jesus die? To give us the Spirit as an enablement to walk over the lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. So then I say to you, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is written to Christians, not to unbelievers. Many times when we get out there in the world and we're telling men how they ought to conduct and live their lives, we are unaware or ignorant of the fact that we're expecting these sinners, unbelievers, the ungodly, to begin to live the life that Jesus has given to us. We're expecting unbelievers to behave like believers. We're expecting unbelievers who are dead to God to begin to produce fruits of righteousness. Hallelujah. You see, that's putting the cart before the horse. It makes no sense. So we are demanding fruits of the Spirit from men who have not the Spirit. We are demanding the lifestyle of righteousness from men who are yet in their sins. Men who have not been justified and transformed to become the righteousness of God. So the repentance Jesus expects us to preach the word cannot be about a change in conduct. Because the conduct God expects us to produce is only found in the life that He gives us. Hallelujah. It's only found in the eternal life that we receive by faith in Him. Glory be to Jesus. So what is this repentance? Let's look in context. Luke 24. Let's see from verse 1. You know, from verse 1 to 11, I'll just give a summary of that. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, had come, you know, back from the tomb. They had gone to see, check the tomb where Jesus was laid. So they got in there and they discovered that the body of Jesus was no longer there. It was even told them by an angel that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. That Jesus is alive. And that, you know, he's alive according to how he has said to them that he will rise on the third day. So these women ran from that place with excitement. Praise God. And then they went to the disciples. Now at verse 11, they went to the apostles to give them this report. At verse 11, Bible says, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. So these guys heard the report from these women that Jesus is alive again, just as he said. Amen. Just as he said, because the angel of the Lord pointed their attention to what Jesus said. At verse 5, then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So the report they gave these women was not just based on the fact that they did not see Jesus in the tomb any longer. It was not just about their eyewitness or the experience they had at the tomb. It was based on the words of Jesus Christ. They reminded them, Jesus said to you that he was going to rise again on the third day. So they went to the apostles with this assurance, with this conviction. He is risen again. He is no longer in the tomb. And then according as his word has said, it has come to pass. But you know, Bible says their words seemed to them like idle tales. Their words were like silly nonsense. They did not believe. Praise God. Hold that in one hand. Now at verse 12 to 21, let's just read through at verse 12. Bible says, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. But he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another and you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? Hallelujah. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since the things happened. Imagine, have you observed that till this point in time, they had not believed the report? They were yet to fully come to terms with the fact that Jesus' death was a means to an end. He was not going to die and lie there in the grave. He was going to rise again on the third day according as he has said. They were still doubting. Look at what they said. We were hoping that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We were hoping. Hallelujah. We were open. So these guys were caught in the web of unbelief. They were still doubting the reality of Jesus' death and resurrection. Glory be to Jesus. They were doubting the fact that Jesus had risen again from the dead. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus' rebuke to them was about their unbelief. Look at this now. Now, look at verse 22. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Glory be to Jesus. So these were the kind of guys that Jesus was having this conversation with. Men who had heard so much about his death and resurrection, men whom he had assured of the fact that his death was necessary, it is necessary for him to die and to rise again the third day. He had assured their hearts of the fact of his resurrection from the dead. And then after his resurrection, they were finding it difficult to believe what he had said. So Jesus began to rebuke them because of their unbelief. Verse 25. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Hallelujah. O foolish one, and slow of heart to believe. The word slow of heart, it means to be dull in your mind, to be unintelligent. And why was this so? Because they had not paid attention to the words of the scriptures. They had not paid attention to what Jesus himself said. So Jesus says, you are slow of heart to believe. You are dull in your heart. He began to rebuke them because of their unbelief. Glory be to Jesus. Because their issue was unbelief. So look at verse 26. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? That is, don't you guys know that it was necessary for Jesus to have died? Don't you know it was necessary for the Christ to have suffered and to enter his glory? And verse 27, Bible says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So how did Jesus bring these guys to repentance? Was it by telling them to just repent? Make sure he began to teach. Hallelujah. He expounded in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The cure for unbelief and doubt is more teaching. Praise God. Not more complaining, not lamenting, not getting mad and sad. It is more teaching. Hallelujah. Of course, in the teaching, sometimes we find rebuke, just as we saw in the approach of Jesus in this place. But then there is more of teaching. You teach, because that's the only cure for unbelief and doubt. Hallelujah. Now let's see verse 44 to 48. Verse 44 to 48. Hallelujah. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. Have you seen? He had told them all these things. That was the crux of his ministry, the crux of his teaching. Jesus daily was showing them, was persuading them about the necessity of his death and resurrection. He had told them the purpose of his coming. These are the words which I spoke to you. So there was nothing Jesus was saying at this point in time that he hadn't said before. Hallelujah. The problem was what he addressed in verse 25. Slow of heart to believe. Praise God. Slow of heart to believe. Dull in your mind to believe. Unintelligent. You guys are not paying attention to scriptures. Hallelujah. Back to verse 44. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Finally. Hallelujah. Finally, these guys could comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So what is the repentance about? It is repentance from unbelief in all that the prophets and the Christ have spoken. Hallelujah. Because that was the problem in Israel. That was the problem with these guys. That was the problem with the general nation of Israel, the people of Israel generally. That was the problem. It was to the Jews. Bible says in John 1:11, he came to his own did not receive him, but as many as believed, as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. The problem of unbelief in the land. Remember the story of the centurion that came to meet Jesus and was demonstrating such great faith. And Jesus says, wow, I've never seen such great faith, not even in Israel. Hallelujah. Not even in Israel, because the children of Israel were particularly notable for walking in unbelief. Hallelujah. Unbelief from the generation that left Egypt down to the generation that Jesus met, they were consistently immersed in the culture of unbelief. Praise God. So that is what Jesus was calling them away from, their unbelief. If you are conversant with the ministry of Jesus, you find out that Jesus' greatest opposition came from them because of their unbelief in him. Many of the things that Jesus will say, they will dispute. Many of the things that Jesus will say concerning himself, they will doubt those things and dispute those things and oppose his words. Hallelujah. Because of unbelief. So what Jesus was calling them away from was unbelief, and this is what he has sent the apostles to preach. Repentance from unbelief to having faith in the remission of sins. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Let's see Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verse 38. Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verse 38 to see how Peter obeyed this instruction of preaching repentance and remission of sins in the name of Jesus. How did Peter preach repentance? Hallelujah. Acts 2:38. This was the first public sermon after Jesus' ascension by the apostles. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. You know, but then, a lot of things had been said. A lot of things had been said in this particular portion of scripture. In this particular public discourse, a lot of things had been said. So to take this scripture and just start preaching, repent, 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 it's a very, very erroneous way of preaching from this scripture or from this verse of the Bible. Hallelujah. Let's look at the background. How did Peter preach repentance? Don't forget I said that the repentance Jesus was talking about, based on the context of Luke 24:47, is repentance from unbelief, which he had just brought his disciples away from. He had just corrected his disciples and rebuked them for their hardness of heart, for their not believing in all that the prophets had said and in all that he had said. Hallelujah. So the repentance is repentance from unbelief in the things spoken concerning Jesus. So let's see how Peter also taught this at Acts chapter 2. I'll read from verse 14. Acts chapter 2 from verse 14. The Bible says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. You know, someone said if this was in Africa, Peter wouldn't have said, this is only the third hour. Hallelujah. I mean, people get drunk at any point in time in places like this. So, verse 16, Bible says, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Pay attention from now. Jesus of Nazareth, or pay closer attention from now. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David also says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You have made me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Hallelujah. Which you now see and hear. Verse 34. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Why did they crucify Jesus? Because they rejected him. Because they did not believe in him. Because they doubted his words. Because they considered him to be blaspheming. He called himself the Son of God. They doubted his message. They doubted his claims. They doubted everything about him. They rejected him, crucified him because of their unbelief. Hallelujah. So Peter is reminding them of their ways, their unbelief. The fact that you guys rejected this particular man, Jesus. You rejected this Savior. You rejected him. You crucified him. You took him with your lawless hands and you put him to death. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So they asked the question. It was to that question Peter answered and said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So the repentance is in a context. Repent from what? Your unbelief. Repent from the fact, from your rejection of the Messiah. Repent from seeing Jesus the way you saw him, to seeing him the way you ought to see him, to see him the way the Father wants you to see him. Glory be to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. We do not regard him any longer according to the flesh, according to our perception, according to what we think or feel. It is based on revelation knowledge. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. So when Peter makes a call for repentance, it wasn't repentance from everything or just anything at all. It was repentance from their way of unbelief. Hallelujah. From their usual, casual way of unbelief. Glory be to Jesus. At Isaiah 53:1, the prophet says, he laments concerning Israel. Who has believed that report? Who has believed that report? Look at Romans chapter 10. That was the problem in Israel. That was the problem with the Israelites. The Jews were synonymous with unbelief. They walked in unbelief. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10. I'll read from verse 14. Romans 10:14. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Romans chapter 10 verse 14. Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful at the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring the glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? Hallelujah. Have you seen? Have they not heard? Did Israel not hear it? They heard it. They rejected it. Praise God. Did Israel not know? They knew. First Moses says, I'll provoke you to jealousy by those who are not the nation. I'll move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long, I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. All day long, I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. So there was a constant call. There was a constant call, a constant persuasion being made to Israel regularly by the prophets, by the ministry of the prophets, through Christ himself also when he came in the flesh, trying to persuade them to believe in the promises of God, to walk in the footsteps and the steps of their father Abraham. But these guys rejected faith in Christ Jesus and they were walking in unbelief. Glory be to God. They knew about the promises of God. They heard about them. In fact, at Romans chapter 9, Paul already says that these guys, one peculiar thing about them is that to them were committed the oracles of God. Romans chapter 9 from verse 4. Who are Israelites? To whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the Lord, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, from whom according to the flesh Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. Even at Romans chapter 3, Paul says the same thing. Romans 3 from verse 1. What advantage then has the Jew or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. To them were committed the oracles of God. So these guys, oracles, they speak of the scriptures. These guys heard the word continually. They heard the scriptures. That which is able to bear faith in their hearts was made available to them, but they rejected it. So in Israel, what they were calling men from was their unbelief in what the prophets had spoken and in what Christ had spoken. Hallelujah. Now the word repent, as used at Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verse 38, is the word metanoheo. Metanoheo. It's spelled M-E-T-A-N-O-E-O. M-E-T-A-N-O-E-O. The E is accented. There's a dash on it. It's accented with a dash on it. Metanoheo. What does it mean? It means to think differently. It has nothing to do with change of character when it comes to, you know, ministering to unbelievers, to sinners. It's not about change of character. It's about a change of thought. It means to think differently. It means to reconsider. Praise God. That which you have rejected, that which you have not paid attention to, that which was made available to you and you rejected, it is time to have a reconsideration. It is time to think differently concerning Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And so also the word repentance as used at Luke 24:47 is the word metanoia in the Greek. Metanoia in the Greek. It's spelled M-E-T-A-N-O-I-A. Metanoia. What does it mean? It also means to change one's mind, one's perception. It has nothing to do with change of conduct, change of character, how people behave. It's about how people think. Praise God. And in this case, it is changing your thoughts, your mindset concerning Jesus. Changing how you see the person of Christ. See how this is expressed at Acts 19 verse 4, you know, and in other places of the Bible, see how it is expressed and taught. Acts 19 verse 4. The repentance is about a change of mindset, a change of thinking. Acts of Apostles chapter 19 verse 4. Glory be to Jesus. Bible says, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So what was the baptism of repentance? That men should believe on him that would come after him. That was John's repentance. That was the repentance that John was preaching. Calling men to believe on him who would come after him. Look at Acts 20:21. Acts 20:21. Praise God. Acts 20:21. Bible says, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God, even faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance towards God, which is faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The repentance is toward God. It's not a repentance based on yourself, a change in conduct. It's repentance toward a change of mind towards God. Have you seen? A change of mind towards God. And what is that change of mind towards God? Faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Look at Mark 1:15. Mark 1:15. In fact, let me read from verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Hallelujah. What he came to the synagogues or to Galilee to preach is referred to as the gospel of the kingdom of God. So he says, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the, that is, it is time for you guys to stop walking in unbelief. It is time to believe in the gospel. It is time for you guys to repent of your unbelief. Because repentance in the New Testament, it's about faith in Christ Jesus. The man that has believed the gospel is the man that has repented. The man that repents without believing the gospel has not repented according to God. Hallelujah. You can change all your ways, change everything you like, change your clothes, change your name, change everything about you. In fact, change your body. If you have not believed in the gospel, you have not repented according to God. Repentance in the sight of God is faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you something again at Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. Something very interesting. Acts 2 verse 38. Acts 2 38. Peter says to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Did you notice that the word believe was not used in this verse of the Bible? But you and I know that believing is necessary for men to receive remission of sins. Believing is necessary for men to be saved. Men must believe. Hallelujah. But what we have here is repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus. Because the repentance is the believing. Hallelujah. So, another way to say this is believe and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Because the repentance is the believing. The believing is the repentance. Glory be to Jesus. So you can use them interchangeably because they mean the same in the context of salvation. Glory be to Christ. Glory be to Christ. Hallelujah. So, you know, Bible says John the Baptist taught repentance. He preached the gospel of repentance or the baptism of repentance. How did he preach the baptism of repentance? John chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. As I begin to close, John 1, 6 to 7, Bible says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Have you seen? John came to bear witness to Christ, that all through his ministry might believe. That all through him, as a witness, might believe. Hallelujah. So the focal point of John's ministry is to bring men to repentance from unbelief to faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at John 1, 29 to 36. John 1:29-36. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So he points to Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So that means the remission of sins that John was talking about and was baptizing people for was not remission of sins to be found in John the Baptist or to be found in himself. Hallelujah. But remission of sins to be found in Christ Jesus. That's why he's pointing to Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. That's why John 1, 6, 7, you know, Bible says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, came for a witness that all through him I believe. And now, at verse 8, Bible now says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So, the baptism of repentance that John was preaching was not repentance, you know, remission of sins in himself. I'll say that again. The baptism of repentance for remission of sins that John was preaching was not the repentance for remission of sins that they could find in his own ministry. No. They weren't going to find that in water baptism. That was going to be found in Christ Jesus. That's why it points to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now look at verse 30. "This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water." So what was the purpose of John's water baptism? To reveal Christ to Israel. Hallelujah. So when the Bible says he was preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, that means John's water baptism was for the purpose and for the sake of revealing Christ to Israel. Because John didn't know Jesus as the Messiah by the flesh. It had to come by revelation. It didn't have to come from stories from his mother and the mother of Jesus. He had to come by revelation because John's assignment was spiritual. His assignment was from God. The call was from God. So he had to receive insight and revelation concerning the Messiah from God himself. "So I came baptizing with water so it might be revealed to Israel." Look at verse 32. "And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Hallelujah. "I didn't know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, the man you see the Holy Ghost descending upon is the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit." So that was the purpose of his baptism, to reveal Christ to Israel as the one who takes away the sin of the world, to reveal Christ to Israel as the one who brings remission of sins. So in the light of all this, Luke 24:47, where Jesus says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, can be rephrased as, you know, and that faith in the remission of sins, or faith in all that the prophets have spoken concerning Jesus, which is the remission of sins, should be preached in his name. Hallelujah. So it's not repentance from your ways, from your conduct, from your character. It's not repentance changing your ways and all that. It's repentance from unbelief to having faith in Christ Jesus for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. And this is the role of repentance in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for another powerful episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast to continue our study on forgiveness, the remission of sins, as it is in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. Invite your friends, your neighbors, your family members, your colleagues at work. Praise God, your classmates. And then let's come together and have a great time in the Word of God. Do have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayer, full of spiritual songs. Be a blessing to somebody. Share the gospel with somebody. Share the love of Christ with somebody. Bring somebody into the knowledge of what Jesus has accomplished for us all. Hallelujah. See you in the next episode.